Today we're here with Jenny Cooper. She is the former director of the Multnomah County Library System. And she's been glad to come in and talk to us about her experiences here at the library.
And I'm very happy to have this opportunity. It's one of the things that I think will be a hallmark of my life and certainly of my career as a librarian. I'm going to begin by telling you a little bit about the first library that I knew and why it is that I chose to be a librarian. I grew up in a small town, small now that I've lived in much bigger cities, a town of about 10,000 in Minnesota, Worthington. And there the library was an important part of my life. My mother always thought reading was great, but spending money on books was, why do you do that when you have a library? So I got very good at knowing where my local library was. I remember that I could sometimes get on my bike at home, go down, get a book, and be back before the commercial was over on whatever early television
That's
show
close.
I was watching.
Yeah,
it was a few blocks away. And I was a voracious reader, and I think reading is what told me that there was a possibility of a different kind of life than those that I saw being lived by everybody in my small town. That was how I learned that people were not all the same color I was, or with the same expectations for life that I had, the same religious upbringing that I had. And that was a really wonderful part of what books gave to me. I knew that that mattered, and that's part of the reason I chose to be a librarian. I had taught for a few years, loved the kids, don't think I taught anybody much, really loved the idea that as a librarian, I would have a greater control over what I did each day and an opportunity to interact with people who might make the choice to come to me for what it is I had to offer. I probably made the choice for reasons that are different than what ended up creating what was for me the perfect career, a really wonderful opportunity. I'm a very, very lucky woman in many, many ways. And one of them is that I found so early what I would be very happy to spend more than 40 years doing as a profession. So I became a librarian. I went to the University of Minnesota Graduate School, finished that in 1970, and I worked in libraries in Minnesota, in Wisconsin, and then in California. I was the head of the Alameda County Library before I came here in 1990. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about how it was that I got hired.
Oh, great. That would be interesting.
So it was very fun because everybody that was being interviewed were all good friends of mine. We were all looking for jobs at about the same time, and we would find ourselves fairly frequently at the same opportunity. And in fact, three of us who were finalists were very good friends, and we are good friends to this day. And I was chosen among those three. The hiring authority was at that point the library board and the chair of the county board. But I do remember meeting all of the county commissioners in that final interview. And as I'll tell you later, since I married one of them, it was really fun to remember that that was the first time that we met. I also was very sick. I had the worst fever and flu of my life. And I remember feeling so grateful that I was surrounded by friends. We all stayed at what was the Giswold's Bed and Breakfast. So we spent every moment together, other than when we were at interviews. We weren't at separate hotels or anything like that. And boy, almost everybody went out and got some kind of cold medicine for me of one kind or another. And I may, in fact, have been sick, especially because I had had so many drugs. Mm-hmm. I remember at some opportunity for all of us, somebody looked at me and said, "You sit down right now." And I almost fainted, the only time that's ever happened in my life. I was very sick. And
that's
so,
sick, yeah.
So I often say that I really got the job by the sympathy vote. They said, "This poor woman really needs something." For whatever reason, I was thrilled to be coming here to Portland, though the interview was the first time I had ever been to the city.
Uh-huh.
And really an interesting introduction to come here as the head of the library. So that was in 1990. And when I came, the decision had already been made that the Library Association of Portland would go out of business, and Multnomah County, which had been funding the library, would become the governance mm-hmm. arm for the library as well. The decision had been made to do that, but it hadn't happened yet. So I had a bit of an opportunity to have some input in how that board would be formed and what responsibilities that board would have, and the library board I'm speaking of, mm-hmm. and how we would be organized in one way and another as it moved forward. So that was a big mark. The Library Association of Portland had been in existence for 125 years. So this was a big change in what it was that was going to happen for the library. And it meant a big change for the library and for library staff as well. The main thing it meant was huge staff increases, because the Library Association of Portland had not paid anybody very well. And you didn't come to the library to work unless you were desperate or totally committed.
Exactly.
And that was an interesting work group to have. The thing that marked my time at the library, and it was true before I got here and certainly true now, was elections and election issues. I counted up, and there were 10 times when the word library was on a ballot during the, I was here from 1990 until the end of calendar 2012, so 3 months less than 13 years, and we were on the ballot 11 times during that time for a capital measure or a bond measure, and that doesn't count the tax-cutting measures that changed the library's budget in many ways as well. So I think I got a really wonderful course in politics by being here.
Yeah, I think you would get sort of that
Incredibly.
Crash course.
Incredibly. Not just because of the relationship with the county board, but also because of the many elections that had something to do with the library and whether or not we'd be funded or well-funded or poorly funded or whatever else would happen. The really wonderful thing about coming here was, even with the problems of the library during the Library Association of Portland final years, the library was very much loved by the people who lived here. And that is still a hallmark of this library system. The fact that it is used so well, and even by those who don't use it, loved and thought so well of, is really remarkable. And preserving that legacy was probably the most important thing I wanted to make sure happened.
I can certainly, you know, understand that, because I had my original library card data strip until about a year ago. I misplaced it, and I had to get a new number, and then I found it again, and I was so sad that I lost my original number after 35 years or whatever it had been.
Yes, it really matters to people, and the library matters to people. And I felt like the most important thing I could do is always remember that this library wasn't mine. It didn't belong to the staff. I think sometimes staff thought it did, but it really belonged to the people who used it, and those were the people we were here to serve. There are a couple of stories I want to make sure that I have an opportunity to talk about.
Whenever you'd like to throw them in.
It was an important time for the library, and I think that that's true. Even if it were not the time that I served as the head of the library, it would have been an important time. The end of the Library Association of Portland was the beginning of that. Though funding for the library had been done by the public by a levy, we were, since 1976, I believe, under the time that I was there, was the first time that so much funding had to be voted on by the public. It used to be about 10% was in that levy, and pretty soon we were over half. And it was because the library was the popular service. We could go out and win by the electorate more money.
Right.
And that relieved money that the county then didn't have to provide from its sources. So it was a natural thing to have happen. But I remember how frightening it was to know that we depended on that vote for half of our staff or more, for many of our hours, for all of our book money. It was especially frightening when ballot measure 5 passed right after I got here in the November, April, and it came in November. And then ballot measure 50, which further limited what we could do. We were always successful in going to the voters and saying, did you really want your library to suffer in this way? And they'd always say no. But we had a real roller coaster of budgets. Library staff would be laid off. Then in a couple of years, we'd get some money and we'd be able to hire them again. Mm-hmm. So it was more exciting than would have been ideal. As we moved forward. And there were other things happening too. We became aware early in my tenure that there was a problem with the structure of the Central Library. I remember the engineer, the civil engineer, who called me and told me about breaking through the wall on one of the two-story reading rooms and putting his head in between where the plaster is that you see in that wall and the terracotta blocks that were the support for that wall. Mm-hmm. He said, I almost dropped my flashlight because he saw that the terracotta blocks, which in the as-built drawings were shown as tying into the structural support, were in fact not tying into the structural support.
Ooh.
And they were, the word they used was wandering, which meant that one of our staff members, June Mickelson, who was the head of Central Library at that time, noticed a bowing of the wall. And that was the time that the Portland Building Bureau declared that we were a dangerous building. It's possible if you're called a dangerous building that the building will be closed. That didn't happen, but some will remember that we put this god-awful scaffolding in on the two-floor reading rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And the scaffolding was there with boards on top, not to hold anything up, but to protect your head if the wall came crashing down. We strung them with Christmas lights. Staff made the best of it.
Yeah.
But it was really awful. And from that bad news came the good news of the public's willingness to say, that Central Library is a treasure, and it needs to be preserved. Let's make sure we make it the library we need. We should also remember that it still is a very small building. It's been a small building from the time it was built, and all the administrative functions had moved out several years before I came, and we used to say, and it was true at that time, it's the smallest central library serving a city our size or larger than any other in the United States. And it still is a small building.
Yeah, it actually, when you think about it in those terms, as you put it, it really is.
It's much smaller than one of my favorite comparisons is always the city of Seattle, which at that point was a city about the same size.
Mm-hmm.
And their library that they replaced was about four times the size of Central Library. And now it's, of course, much bigger. Central didn't get any bigger. But we did go out successfully for the first capital measure. I don't know if it was the first one for the county, but it was the first one for the library. And it was to renovate the Central Library and build the Midland Library.
Mm-hmm.
And that began, and the Central Library was completed in 1997. Before it was completed, there was an opportunity on the ballot, and our excellent, fabulous, credit her with all the good work that we've been able to do, political consultant Liz Kaufman said, I think you could win another capital bond. I said, even though Central isn't done, even though Midland isn't open yet? And she said, yeah, I think you could do it. So we went out to the public again and said, okay, you've paid for Central and you've paid for Midland. How about every other location? And they said yes. So we then began planning for the rest of the libraries, and that was the time when all of the neighborhood libraries were funded, that renovation was funded.
What kind of a cycle was that to do the implementation of the upgrades? Was that like a three-year program or a five-year?
We had
over the course of the library, you know, ballpark.
June Mickelson is going to remember this a lot better than I will, because she was the one responsible for making that happen, and I'm sure you're speaking with her or somebody is as well. I think it was about a five-year cycle. It started in, that bond measure was passed in 96, and the last library was open just after I left in 2012, 2013. Mm-hmm. So it was a 5 or 6 year, 7 year cycle. And we did it pretty carefully because we put the libraries in groups, and our goal was to make sure that there would be a close library that you could use while yours was being renovated. We did, and I'm going to get some of these numbers wrong, but about one-third new buildings. Mm-hmm. The Hillsdale Library was the very last one that opened, but there are several others that are brand new. Mm-hmm. The Woodstock one nearest here, for example. Several historic renovations, about one-third were historic renovations. We're at the Belmont Library, that's one example. North Portland Library, several others that were historic buildings. And then there was what I called, at that point, the middle-aged libraries, because they were about the same age I was. They were built in the 40s and the 50s. Mm-hmm. And those libraries, Capitol View, I think, or Capitol Hill is the closest one to Capitol something. I've got libraries with Capitol in all three systems I've been at recently, but that's one example. And there are many others, too. And that one-third, then, we were able to add meeting rooms, make sure the entrances were right, upgrade the electricity and the technology and all the rest of it. So our goal was to touch every library and make a meaningful change in that library. We figured this was the last bite at the apple for a very long time. We would not see another capital bond. So,
just out of curiosity, do you see a new central library someday? That had to have been discussed, I would think. And I'm not trying to get inside information.
We talked about it quite a bit at that time. And I made the decision that I had two choices as the head of the library. One was to spend my whole career and my whole life telling people their beautiful library really wasn't good enough, mm-hmm. or find the best way to make that library wonderful. I don't know that another decision will ever be made because that library is so beloved and so wonderful. There were wonderful fantasies about buying the block next door and building a high rise there and doing a walkway over to it and all that stuff. But my crystal ball doesn't tell me clearly that that's going
to
happen.
No one would pony up the $250 million needed to build that building next door, huh? So.
No. Although they did it in Seattle, and that's a city the same size we were.
Yeah.
You know, that's about what their
well,
bond measure was.
I was curious because I too can remember back as a kid. I grew up in a small town in Indiana, and we had a Carnegie Library. Isn't any bigger than probably the Belmont here. Mm-hmm. That's long since I've been in. And it's now gone into, I don't know, insurance or something else. It's no longer the library. They built a new one. But they were wonderful old limestone buildings, and just wonderful. So I'm glad the original library, the downtown main one, is still with us.
People love it so. It was called, at the time we were renovating it, the Jewel of Portland. And I think that's an accurate description of how so many people think of it. You know, it's one of the few buildings downtown that has just a little bit of grass on a few sides, mm-hmm. set back in that beautiful way, that Georgian building. Mm-hmm. And I must say we did a fabulous job with the renovation. Really fabulous architects that worked with us to make that library as wonderful as it could be. So we did that. We did all of the rest of the neighborhood libraries, too. I will mention that I was married in the Central Library while it was under construction. That's a personal memory. That's a really wonderful one to think of.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. It was done, finished in 97, and my husband, Rick Bauman, and I were married in 95 in December, and it was under construction, and it was at the Christmas holidays. And we knew that marriage was in our cards, and that was the place that had meant the most to me and to him, too. He was on the county board when I came, no longer on the county board at this time. So on one Saturday, the Saturday before Christmas, because my mother was going to be in town, we had a friend who was the clerk of the court, and she had the license to marry us, and we had about 35 people came. They all had hard hats. My good friend and former colleague at work, Mike Harrington, was there that day. And they came in about noon, and we were married standing on what would become the steps. They were not there yet. There was plywood in that location. We used to say that people could park at the parking meters, and during the time before their meter ran out, they could come in and watch us get married and then leave. And many of our friends did that on that Saturday. We served Diet Dr. Pepper and chocolate bonbons and had wonderful music on a cassette tape. And as we left, a friend of ours had torn up the pages of a romance paperback, and that was what was thrown on our heads instead of rice as we walked out.
Nice. I'd like to hope that somehow a photo of that gets to the oral history here so we could post it.
It does, actually.
Yeah, that would be delightful.
A photo does exist. Rick and I had white hard hats. Everybody else had yellow ones. So it was a wonderful way of acknowledging how very important that building was to me.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it was really great. One of the things I'm most proud of was the creation of the Library Foundation. That came from a planning process that happened during the time that I was there. We had the great good fortune of Paul Bragdon, who was the then retired, but not long retired, president of Reed College. Paul was on the library board. He agreed to lead a planning process. And his good friend and my friend and subsequently my very good friend, Dorothy Hirsch, co-chaired that process. And they said a foundation is what's needed. People need to have the ability to prevent this whirlwind of up and down budgets that plagues the library. Mm-hmm. They've got to find stable funding, and we need an advocacy group that will fight for that together with the friends of the library that were so very important, and also to provide a way for people to give money for what they wanted to have happen at the library to happen. The foundation is still very strong, and I consider it an important part of what I began, though I certainly don't take credit for the wonderful foundation that exists, mm-hmm. That funds important things like this oral history project and has continued in all of the years since it began. So that's one thing I'm very proud of. I'm also proud of how important we knew children's services were. One of the first things that I was able to do after I was hired was have a children's librarian at every neighborhood library. That hadn't been the case before. And still in this country, we are known as one of the leaders of providing children's services, not just in library buildings, but in many other places, in schools, at daycare centers, and after-school programs, providing all kinds of programs that have readers made here in Multnomah County in a way that really makes sure that we have kids that go to school ready to learn, mm-hmm. that they continue to learn, and that they are successful adults in every way.
Well, that's really important.
It is.
If you don't get a good foundation as a child, it's tough in school.
Right, and we were very lucky to have a library board and a foundation board members and county board that understood that that was important, and voters that said yes specifically when we asked them to pay for those kinds of services. Mm-hmm. How are we doing for time? Okay. I'm going to mention a few names and just tell you a little bit about them because they're really the ones responsible for success. And I know that and am so well aware of it. I think authors have always found the library a really wonderful place. The writer's room, which I don't think exists anymore, was a real way of saying, we know this is your place, writers. I remember long before I came to Multnomah County, hearing Jean Owl speak at a library program and hearing her talk about how the Multnomah County Library was the place that gave her the place to write because she so badly needed to get away from her family and kids and was working a full-time job. So the library was open and available, and she would bring her notebooks and work on the Clan of the Cave Bear series there. And Molly Glass, who was on the library board for a while too, and a very good friend and supporter of the library. And I have been able to tell my librarian friends stories about the wonderful Ursula Le Guin over and over again. She served on the library board during my time as well. And she was and is an incredible library supporter. We're lucky to have her in the pantheon of American writers,
mm-hmm.
and here in Portland. So that's great news. It was a wonderful time on the library board when Ursula served and Michael Powell of Powell's Books also served on the board. And having the opportunity to have the two of them and many others shape and talk about what libraries should be and what the book world was going to be. I remember very early conversations about print on demand, for example, something we're now beginning to see as a real factor in lots of places. Mm-hmm. So those are people that I would mention as well. I talked about Liz Kaufman, who was the political consultant that really made it all happen. Liz's mother was a librarian, and thank goodness for that. Lisa Grove is another one. Lisa did public opinion research. She helped us figure out what people thought of us and why. And that was important for elections, but I want to tell you it was even more important for providing services. What did people value? Why did they love their library? What did they look for
what
at their library?
What do they want when they walk in the door?
Exactly.
What are they looking for?
So as we planned our services, having that if you will, scientific understanding rather than I think people really want was really critical for us. And it's another thing that we've been able to share with a number of other libraries throughout the country when I was here and since that time as well. The chairman of the library board when I came was Bill Nadeau. That gave us political clout. Bill was the person in the community that every politician had to get the blessing of in order to be able to run for office or move forward. And people paid attention to Bill in many ways. And it was Bill who said, yeah, we can dream big. We can get this central library done. Bill didn't want us dreaming too big, though, and I'll tell you a story that illustrates that.
Great.
We had the architects, really fabulous architects, had a plan for Central Library, and one of the elements of that plan was that staircase that we all know so well, mm-hmm. and it was to be covered with carpeting. And Bill said, no, carpeting will wear out, you won't have enough money to replace it, get rid of the carpeting. And we had hired Larry Kirkland, the public artist, and Larry was to do art in the library and figure out where that might be, and he said, I bet I could come up with something that would be carpet-like, but stone mm-hmm. on those steps. And that's how those glorious steps that I was married on and many people love, I've watched people do rubbings on those steps. And Larry did a fabulous job creating that. And it was Bill's, oh no, not carpeting. Don't dream you're going to be able to replace the carpeting on a regular basis. That was
forward-thinking.
It was forward-thinking. There are some other names, too. They were on the library board and became important friends as we moved forward. Bill Failing was on that very first board, an old family of Portland. Bill now is, I think, the chairman of the Historical Society board. And the library really happened because Bill could connive how to make it happen with Bill Nadeau in ways that were very important. Cliff Carlson, a lawyer in town who was also very important. Cliff was a good friend. I went through an interesting experience when I was here. If it were happening now, we would say a stalker was after me. And it was Bill who said, we can take care of that for you, Ginny. And he did.
Yeah.
The library had good friends, and I had good friends as we moved forward, too. I've mentioned both Paul Bragdon and importantly, Dorothy Hirsch, whose picture hangs at Central.
Mm-hmm.
Dorothy was a foremost library supporter, and she was the mother of a librarian. I think you find librarians in more families than you would expect, and that really builds for that strength. And Dorothy was the person who made me know that it could happen. She said, if I love the library and I support it, I'm sure everybody will. And it was that helped us know we could start the Library Foundation, we could be bold in our requests for funding. I remember the Willamette Week came out against us one time. We won anyway. And the next time, when I spoke to their editorial board, they came out in favor of the library for the next library measure. And my husband still teases me about the fact that the Willamette Week endorsement said, that Jeannie Cooper has real cojones. Well, I don't, of course, but it was an interesting way to get their point across, which was people love their library, and she is dreaming big for the library, and we all were at that time. Alice Meyer was the president of the Friends of the Library when I came. She conceived of the Friends store. She served on the library board later than that, and I think may have even chaired it. Dean Giswold also served on the library board. When I came to Portland, he had been the Library Association of Portland's lawyer and worked with them in the dissolution that moved forward. Susan Hathaway Marxer was president of the library Friends, and then also chaired the library board. She was chair of the board when I left. And I remember picking up Susan to go to a library board meeting on the morning of 9/11.
Oh.
We had a 7:30 in the morning board meeting, and that was just as the attacks were becoming known. My husband and I were leaving to visit grandchildren in Germany at noon. That flight, of course, was canceled, but I always remember that, and several people on the library board talk about being there at that time as well. I want to make sure that I mention really the signature author connected with Portland and with the library, and that's Beverly Cleary. Beverly was a librarian. She worked briefly at the Central Library and told me that they were not nice to her there, that she had a bad evaluation. And I really could sort of understand that. Beverly's a wonderful woman, but really doesn't have much time for fools. So that's Beverly. She became a close friend, is still a close friend of mine, and a great friend of the library. We have that beautiful children's room, which is named for her, not because of the gift she gave, but because of the wonderful work she did for children in the wonderful books that she wrote. But she did give a major gift. I think the largest single gift for that library came from Mrs. Cleary. And we honor her and remember that. Remember that
too.
We're
all thankful in our own way.
Yes, exactly. Exactly right. I think that's it. Do you have anything else you want to make sure you ask me?
I just wanted to say that if there was anything else, we were, you know, we're coming down to the last 5 minutes or so here, and if there's anything else you'd like to add, we've really enjoyed listening to your whole story about, you know, your involvement, being the former director. You've got a lot of inside information that I think people will find really interesting and valuable. If you have anything else, if not.
Only to say that the library staff is really the greatest treasure. I've mentioned a couple. I've mentioned June Mickelson. I've mentioned Mike Harrington. June and Mike and I were the triumvirate that worked on Central and worked on the neighborhood libraries. And really, they did the work. Mike was the one who negotiated the contracts, made sure the building specifications were right, made sure we could actually maintain the buildings that were being built. And June is the one who made sure that there was actually enough room for all the books and everything else that we needed. I was great at that vision thing and talking about it with the architects and loved that opportunity and have been able to do a lot of it in my career, both before Multnomah County, but then certainly when I was the director at Brooklyn Public Library, and even more in Washington, D.C., where I've spent the last 8 years of my professional career. So I'd mentioned the staff. There are so many that have gone on to do wonderful work.
I'm sure you could go on and on.
Library directors, including the current library director, whom I have a great deal of affection for. I'd like to think that Vailey became a library director because I convinced her that it was a good thing to do. She said, why would I take just a little bit more money and spend a whole lot more time on my job? And I think she does a really remarkable job for us all now. I think that's about it.
Well, I want to say this has been a pleasure. I mean, all kinds of interesting things have come out of this. I thank you for your time and everything you've done here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.